Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. This is the 38th podcast, Sunday evening podcast of 2019, hence 19-38. And we are well into October. November's right around the corner. 2020 could be one of the bloodiest years politically, culturally, since, well, in a long time. Things are really heating up. We're going to talk about some of that. It's just quite a time to be alive, isn't it? So, hey, we want you guys to be encouraged, especially if you're outside the wire. If you're in occupied territory, God bless you. Have courage and be encouraged. That's what I want to say. Be encouraged. So we're all in this together, right? And we got a long ways to go to get through to the other side. And there's quite a battle here for the shining beacon on the hill, the United States of America. Enemies are all over the place that want to take it down. And so we're going to stand side by side, locked arm in arm. And we're going to stand firm for the things that we believe in. But we want to also have situational awareness about what's going on. I'm going to share some stories with you here, just like we always do in segment one, in what we call news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author of the 299 Days book series, Glenn Tate. And all those books are out, including the audio files about the collapse and the rebuilding. And you can learn more about that at 299days.com. 299 Days. All right. Our first story comes from Jihad Watch. Mr. Spencer over there does a really good job. He's got several things that he's tracking continually. And, of course, so does Pamela Geller. We kind of alternate between following or tracking of the spread of Islam and some of the cases where it's rearing its ugly head in the form of Sharia law. But Europe, man, they're just in so much trouble. But we need to watch this because it's in Europe, don't think this doesn't apply to us here because they're trying the same failed experiment of Islamification in America as they're doing to Europe. And so we need to watch those lessons learned or pay attention to those lessons learned. So where we got here? Out of the UK, Shiites demand removal of a BBC documentary on temporary marriage. They're saying it's disrespectful to Shiite Islam. Shiites justify temporary marriage, or what they call mutah, by their reading of the Quran, and which says in 4:24, all married women are forbidden unto you, save those captives whom your right hand possesses. So you can take captive slaves. It is a decree of Allah for you. Lawful unto you are all beyond those mentioned, so that ye seek them with your wealth in honest wedlock, not debauchery, and those of you whom you seek content by marrying them, give unto them their portions as duty. And there's no sin for you in what ye do by mutual agreement after the duty hath been done. So what they're talking about is temporary marriages. Now, unlike, and it's a very rare thing that you'll hear me read the Quran here, but it supports the point that's being made here. And that is the injection of Islamic culture and the Quran into Western cultures. as part of the al-Hijra, to the cultural jihad, to take over other cultures. And so now this is being, they're being demanded to remove this documentary exposing what's going on over there in the UK. So while Sunnis ostensibly reject this practice, it is rising among Saudis and in Egypt. As for the girls being underage, why not? Muhammad did it. The prophet wrote the marriage contract with Aisha while she was 6 years old and consummated his marriage with her while she was 9 years old, and she remained with him for 9 years until his death. So the BBC, so far, is not complying with the Shiite demands to take down this documentary, but expect it to cave in soon. Not to do so would be Islamophobic. There's other stories here, too. 17,000 have signed a petition demanding the BBC remove from iPlayer its pleasure marriages expose. In other news there, Muslim migrant hit-and-run driver who severely injured two teens in the UK is freed early and won't be deported. There's a group of people that just don't know how to learn a lesson. And over in France, after Paris, a jihad massacre and a 9/11 style plot, leading intellectuals urge action against Islamophobia. Not against Islamic jihad terrorism, but against Islamophobia. When they discover yet again another Muslim jihadi planning to murder people, and it's discovered as soon as it hits the news, which they try to bury these stories from even making the news, but when it does make the news, the first thing they run to is not countering Islamophobia, not a message to their Muslim conquerors, you know, to stop these types of actions. Nope, it's against you, the citizen, so that, you know, to make sure that you don't establish Islamophobia in your heart. So that means they'll get more of the former and less of the latter, including honest analysis of the nature and magnitude of the jihadi threat, which is routinely stigmatized as Islamophobia. Very interesting. And, you know, there's John Guandolo, former FBI agent, heads up the Understanding the Threat blog, does a really good job, trains law enforcement on exactly what Muslims are doing, practicing. So there's actually a website called Islamophobia.org. They're pointing out Islamophobia. So those that are shining light on these cockroaches that are planning on killing innocent people, they've actually developed a website to try to disparage those who are the watchmen on the wall trying to warn people about what's happening. And this is what they have to say about him. John Guandolo's Understanding of the Threat, Understanding the Threat, is a consultation and training group known for providing anti-Islam instruction for U.S. law enforcement officials. You hear that? U.S. law enforcement officials, if you have not tracked down a really solid, reputable subject matter expert to train your people on the threat of Islam, there you go, Understanding the Threat. They provide this as a consultation. It's not anti-Islam. It is pro-Western and anti-Sharia law. It's to bring awareness to the agenda that the Islamists told us they would be carrying out. He's pointing to evidence of them making good on their word, and now he's an Islamophobe. So, looks like somebody that should be hired. Guandolo believes that America is at war with Islam, this website says. Well, that's not true. He doesn't believe that America is at war with Islam. The problem is we're not at war with Islamic jihadists. They're at war with us. But this is like saying, this would be like saying the Reverend John Bonhoeffer, I mean Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in Germany believes that Jews are at war with the Nazis. I mean, this is just so absurd. But this is how they write it. So they believe America is at war with Islam and that major Muslim organizations and mosques are preparing for combat. Well, they are, and this has been evidenced so many times in their writings and documents that have been captured by jihadis. So anyway, we'll move on here. Again, just for your situational awareness now, Redoubt News, nailing it with several great articles. If you haven't been over there, check them out. But here's just a couple. Sherry Duvalli wrote up this one. Fox News goes completely to the dark side is the headline. Well, if they haven't gone completely to the dark side, they're well on their way. But what this article is pointing to is a recent Fox News poll where the network stated that the majority of Americans, 51%, this just came out, wanted the impeachment of President Trump. Now, this is Fox News telling us this. This is the conservative right-wing news channel, but not so much, and decreasingly so. So she writes, this is disingenuous at the very least. Political hackery is closer to reality, however. The political makeup of voters in the United States indicates that 31% of all Americans identify as Democrats, 29% as Republican, and 38% as independent, according to Gallup. So the Fox News pollsters actually went too heavy on Democrats with 48% of those polled claiming to be Democrats, 40% Republican, and 12% independent. So it's important to note because it does not give an accurate representation of Americans, though Fox News is trying to claim that it does. So a New York Post analysis concluded that the true numbers should have stated the split was more evenly divided, with 44.9 favoring impeachment and 44.4 opposing it. So pretty evenly divided. But there's several here, actually, that have kind of been called out by several other news outlets. And that she poses the question, why is Fox News trying to sabotage the president? Everyone seems to have an opinion. Breitbart, Emerald Robinson, chief White House correspondent for One America News, said that Paul Ryan, a board member of the Fox News parent company, Fox Corp, hired a polling firm run by liberal activists. Robinson said that the poll serves as a cover-up for GOP to impeach Trump. Very interesting. And I did not know, I don't know how that escaped me, that Paul Ryan is on the board of directors, apparently, or a board member. At the American Thinker, they wrote this: there would have been no headlines and breathless anchors on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, and ABC, nor any banner headlines in the Washington Post and New York Times trying to convince the nation that the citizenry is turning on Donald Trump. Good point. And in Town Hall, they're saying it's almost as if this poll and others like it are meant to create, not measure, public opinion. And I think that nails it right there. Anyway, there's a lot more to that article. You can go read it at Redoubt News. You know, and here's the other, I don't know if you guys caught this, but CDN News ran another one, because I've seen this with Drudge, the Drudge Report, which I've followed for years. And I have the app, and it's really concerning the increasing number of reports that I see that lead to a negative impression, especially toward President Trump. I'm thinking Matt Drudge cannot stand President Trump. I mean, this is the impression. This is I'm seeing a bias in reporting here, because there are so many stories out there that show the other side to these stories that they're trying to press on us. And to really sway somebody, you do that just with headlines alone. And Drudge has been doing this. There's an article right here saying Drudge leaves conservatives, follows Fox down the liberal rabbit hole. I've got some great resources for conservative, patriot news sources that are telling the other side of the story. I want to share that with you guys sometime. I need to put, making a note here for myself, to put a posting together. Put a posting together with some of these news resources that I use. You guys can add to it in the comments section here. I'll try to get that up in the next 24 hours. Let me make a note. I'm making a note right now. Posting for news sources. I started going to, you know, Redoubt News, Northwest, Northwest News Report, and several. What Finger is a really good one. It should be What Thumb, because thumbs up, thumb down, but it's called What Finger. Kind of a strange name, but ran by veterans, and what basically kind of what Drudge used to be. Also from Redoubt News, San Francisco blacklist increases to 22 states. Subheadline here. If your state has not been blacklisted by San Francisco, then you need to step up your game, get a hold of your legislators, because now San Francisco's got a blacklist from the land of fruits and nuts. San Francisco has added to their already long list of states which they will not do business. They've previously blacklisted states that were not rolling over for the LGBTQ agenda and have now decided that if you support life, they don't like you either. The list has grown to include the following 22 states. See if your state is on this list. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. And I have to say, I was extremely disappointed not to see the Central American Redoubt states listed here. Where's Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming? They should be on here. Very conservative states. I wouldn't expect to see Oregon or Washington on there, but one day Liberty State will be on there. Well, they're going to blacklist Liberty State. They probably already have. Any business produced in eastern Washington, they're going to do it preemptively. I wouldn't be surprised. But California had already blacklisted Alabama, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, and Texas because of their LGBTQ policies. And that's according to the Los Angeles Times. So now there's a city that has nearly every city block reported for human waste sightings, wants to tell the world how to handle the risk to human life. Very interesting. Anyway, great job over there on that one as well, Sherry at Redoubt News. A couple stories here I want to bring to you. One from the Inland Northwest Report. It's inlandnwreport.com. You guys understand? Remember the case, Joe Robertson, who had built a couple of ponds on his land and got into a big fight. It was pure tyranny. But there's some great news coming from this. Sadly, he passed away. Veteran and a patriot, and they just dragged him through the mire, tried to destroy him, and they did. But Joe Robertson's case inspires President Trump to end an era of bureaucratic abuses. Hallelujah. Joe Robertson's case is one of many cited by President Trump as examples of the abuse of Americans by overzealous federal bureaucrats in various agencies. Bureaucratic power is stripped away by President Trump's executive orders, which classify agency rules and guidelines, whether new or existing, as informative but not legally binding. Praise the Lord. That should have happened so long ago. Of course, we wouldn't have expected that in the previous administration under the president who would not be named and shall not be named. But this president is doing what no other president would have done. I believe that. I believe that no other president would have done this. On Wednesday, October 9th, President Trump introduced and signed two executive orders, which appear to be inspired in part by the horrendous case of elderly Navy veteran Joe Robertson, who was prosecuted and imprisoned by the previous president, who will not be named, Justice Department for purported violations of the Clean Water Act. And this was just heart-wrenching. Joe Robertson, who passed away earlier this year, was convicted by the federal government in 2016 for improvements he made to a pond on his own property. They're saying he didn't have a permit, but he did. So it was just a horrible, horrible situation. But it was really good to see President Trump is stepping up to block this kind of stuff in the future. Let me just go back to that one more time. So His executive orders classify agency rules and guidelines, whether new or existing, as informative but not legally binding. Informative but not legally binding. Way overdue. Union tells teachers, inject race and racism into every subject and every conversation. Propaganda. This is written by William Jasper. You guys know who Bill Jasper is. He's the senior editor of The New American. Love that publication. The American Federation of Teachers, the radical union that reaches into tens of thousands of classrooms, is pushing saturation indoctrination on race, racism, racial identity, bias, prejudice, discrimination, hate, white supremacy, and, of course, equity, tolerance, and diversity. As American students at all grade levels fall further and further behind in all academic areas, the 1.7 million member union is telling its teachers they must focus not on helping their students learn the basic subject matter and academic skills that will enable them to be productive, prosperous, self-supporting citizens, which they don't want you to be anyway, but that teachers must instead become nonstop agitators for racial justice and full-time race psychologists / sociologists, both inside and outside the classroom. So the fall of 2019 issue, just this fall, of their AFT journal for this union is called The American Educator. It should be The American Indoctrinator. But the fall edition is devoted to confronting bias in schools, classroom conversations on race, ethnicity, and identity. However, a more accurate title might have been Compounding Bias in Schools or Inflaming Racial Tensions and Hatred in Schools. I agree. Absolutely agree. And they wrote in this, they wrote in this about the President of the United States. They just yanked their funding. But the ATF president, AFT president, starts off the issue saying President Trump, is leading a homegrown hate movement. This is obviously a Marxist leftist who has incredible reach over all of the teachers in this union who are getting this publication. And she leads off the issue with, the president is leading a homegrown hate movement. That's in her column, Where We Stand. And this type of garbage is just unbelievable. We've got to get our kids out of the public schools. Got to. There's really no alternative. There's no choice anymore. They've taken that away from us. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back with segment two right after this. I'm going to pick up where I left off. Yesterday in a story talking about some weapons that were seized from a suspected Washington State neo-Nazi using the red flag laws. And it appears that this is not based on any crime, but just simply by being affiliated with a non-state approved organization or one that the state has deemed full of hate. There you go. All right, we'll be back. Segment two, right in just a moment. This is The Voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Lady Liberty. Thank you for joining me again today. I have to say, as an author and subject matter expert on the UN system of global governance called Sustainable Development, that the majority of the reason we are wanting to detach from Western Washington in the first place is due to policies that are pushed from the United Nations. Most people don't realize that all the myriads of problems we are facing in Washington State right now all originate back to UN policies. Their reach covers every aspect of our lives. It pretty much goes like this. If it sounds un-American, it probably is. Such as gun control. Does that sound un-American to you? Well, it is. The UN seeks total guns and weapons control over the entire world. And does agricultural regulation sound un-American to you? It is. The UN seeks total control of the food supply. How about federal or state-funded abortions? Does that sound un-American to you? that is also un-American. The UN seeks ultimate population control, and that is just one of thousands of population control methods. In fact, when I had first started researching the UN in 2007, I watched a VHS video from the library that was published by the UN themselves in 1972. They came right out and said that their three primary goals were, 1, guns and weapons control, 2, food control, 3, population control. Of course, that was prior to them becoming their modern version of user-friendly censoring of their statements and word choices. The Washington State Department of Ecology bases their actions and policies on the global governance model submitted by the UN. All of the Growth Management Act is a product of the UN. So with that, this has been a Liberty State broadcast, a broadcast from the grassroots people. Please join me again next week as we make progress on the greatest effort in America. This is Lady Liberty, signing off for now. Until next week, may we trust in God, and may God richly bless America and Liberty State.
In a world where not all podcasts are equal.
And where?
We're back with segment two of Radio Free Redoubt, and segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you that are strategically relocating to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, in the heart of the American Redoubt, you need some help finding the place that's right for you, check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right, now, yesterday, in case some of you missed it, I covered... And I spent quite a bit of time talking about this article that came out in several news outlets. I guess the AP wrote it. Police seizing military-style firearms from an avowed neo-Nazi in Snohomish County in what is believed to be a first-of-its-kind case in Washington State. Now, I read through this yesterday, and this guy belongs to this Adam Waffen. It is a atom bomb, a atom weapon is the direct translation. Basically, a nuclear weapon is what it translates to. It is a white supremacy group. This guy went over to Germany. He posed holding the Adam Waffen flag and some of these concentration camps and stuff like that. Not a good guy. But what I started to get into yesterday was the slippery slope about using a convenient bad guy, convenient boogeyman, that nobody's going to rise up and say, that's just wrong. You can't disarm somebody without due process of law because, well, then you're seen as defending a white supremacist, which means you're sympathetic to white supremacists. Not that you're sympathetic to the rule of law and the Constitution and you're worried about the slippery slope here because they're saying this guy's just a really full of hate kind of guy. That's his crime, I guess, which isn't technically a crime. So the FBI, because the federal government does not have powers to remove firearms from someone who has committed no crime. Duh, right? As it should be. But these states, Oregon, Washington, I don't know, there's what, 11 others now, I think, that... now have passed laws that are in direct violation of the Constitution. And here's the duty of a government, and that is to defend and uphold citizens' rights. But instead, they go the opposite direction. This is like buying a pit bull to protect your children from cougars when your children are out hiking in the woods around your property. And then the pit bull attacks your children. I mean, this is that would be an abomination, right? It just completely goes against the whole design and purpose and intent of something, what it was intended and designed for. And then you got this pit bull to be able to rip the throat out of a cougar that might be attacking your children. Then it rips your children's throat out. So this is what the government's doing. Their job, their duty, is to uphold and defend the rights of its citizens. And instead, they turn on the citizens to rip their throats out. So who is our defenders? Who, I mean, other than appealing to heaven, who can we turn to now? The courts are loaded full of judges appointed by leftists that are just yawning at challenges about the constitutionality of red flag laws. But see, now it's because he's associated with a unsavory organization. White supremacist groups, neo-Nazis, or whatever they are. But see, what's going to happen next time when they decide that, you know, these people that have Trump stickers are so full of hate? How much have we seen Trump hate? Trump's full of hate. Trump's a racist. Racist Trump. Over and over. Right. And of course, you know, hate is equivalent to radicalization, potential domestic homeland terror threat. I mean, just the narrative, the way that things are going. Now, you, if you have a Gadsden flag on your vehicle and a Glock sticker or something like that, all you got to do is make somebody feel uncomfortable. And everybody in your family could just know who you are, and they know that you're not a threat. You're a law-abiding citizen, but maybe the FBI just wants you in a real bad way. Now, the FBI can approach these states and say, you know, we really would like to get these weapons away from this guy. He's just full of hate. I don't know what conversation took place between the FBI and the prosecutor's office, or this firearms disarming, firearms enforcement branch there in the Seattle area, but they were all too happy to help. And this is really, and Oregon's got the same law. And this is just really bad because they're sidestepping due process. Due process by the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. Okay, each of those amendments contain a due process clause. Due process deals with the administration of justice, and thus the due process clause acts as a safeguard from arbitrary denial of life, liberty, and property by the government outside the sanction of law. Okay, that's just from Wikipedia right there. You, of course, you look at the footnotes and all the sources, and it dives into all these constitutional law sources, Cornell law, and just a whole bunch of others. So, I mean, that's a pretty fair summary. I think, you know, Wikipedia is, you can trust that description that I just read to you, because you can check it against all the others. So let's look at the Fifth Amendment. This is, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the 14th Amendment says, nor shall any state, so dealing specifically with the state, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. What is due process of law? You have to have an unbiased tribunal. You go to court, right? The notice of the proposed action and the grounds asserted for it. In other words, they have to have probable cause that you have committed a crime or are in the process of committing a crime. There is no way to rebut these red flag laws. Due process requires that you have to have the opportunity to present reasons why the proposed action should not be taken. In other words, you have the right to be able to defend yourself. There has to be a preponderance of evidence, and the burden of guilt has to be placed on the state to prove that you are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You have the right to have a jury by your peers, and they have to find you guilty of a crime. Then you can start looking at punishment, like depriving you of life, liberty, or property. But this is all taking place and sidestepping that by officials who took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. They're required to take an oath. The problem is there's just no teeth for when they do ignore their oaths and the Constitution. What they're acting unlawfully. They are breaking the law using what they're calling laws, but they're not laws. Because any law that's in violation of the higher law is no law at all. That's the 16th American jurisprudence right there. It's not enforceable, as if it had never been passed. That's what our laws say. The 16th American jurisprudence states that very clearly. These are in clear violation. This is why so many sheriffs, who also took an oath, said, I will not enforce this unconstitutional law. much to the chagrin of the Marxists that are pushing for these disarmament laws and others. There's a whole case of it here in Florida as well. They're in the same battle, and this has happened all across the country. So, and they're in this argument between reasonable cause and probable cause. The reasonable cause somehow snuck in there. Well, the Constitution doesn't say they can deprive you after due process to seize property based on a warrant issued based on probable cause that you've committed a crime or are about to commit a crime. But there isn't any. It's just, well, this person's full of hate. Well, how many of your pastors are going to be judged as being full of hate because they're reading the parts of the Bible that the government doesn't approve of? Or because you support Trump, that you're going to be deemed a person full of hate? Because now we've got people saying when Antifa comes to harm us, me and those around us, I'm going to take them out. This is what this veteran in Oregon was disarmed over, with the FBI coming and disarming this veteran who said, when the Antifa come, I'm going to slaughter them if they come and attack me. And they used an Oregon leftist, fallen People's Democratic Republic of Oregon, disarmed a veteran because he said, if communist revolutionaries come to harm me or other people, I'll slaughter them. So no due process, no crime. I mean, how, if you say somebody's coming to harm me, I'm going to, would it be better if you say I'm prepared to use lethal force if necessary, but I won't try to kill them. I will try to just stop them. I mean, you do all the legal ease and all the verbal judo and everything else. But straight up, you have a veteran who says, when somebody here is coming to kill me like an enemy is, and I find myself in combat with them, I'm going to slaughter the enemy. Straight up. But you can't say that. Not in the People's Democratic Republic of Oregon. And this is like a cancer spreading across the country, depriving citizens. And right now, it's the unsavory citizens, so nobody cares. Nobody's going to come to their defense. They're just going to look the other way until they come for you. So anyway, a lot to think about there. This is a really scary trend for those of us that care about the rule of law, and we love America and Americanism, and we want to uphold and defend the Constitution, because there's not been any other document that has been written so powerfully to hold back tyranny like the United States Constitution. They meant it when they said, we need you to take an oath to uphold and defend this document. Because there are enemies of that document that will try to overturn it. And when they do, America's gone. And there's no place else to go. America is it. And that's what the refugees, people coming here, not refugees, this is what legal immigrants are saying, fleeing oppression in other parts of the world, screaming at American citizens to wake up, because what they fled is coming, and they're telling us there is no place else to go. There is no place left to go. And they're right. We'll be right back in segment three coming up. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question, every individual. Are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Readout because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
Welcome back, and thanks for sticking around. This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment three brought to you by our friends at Strategic Landscape Design. And that's their website, strategiclandscapedesign.com, designed to keep you safe and to help you thrive. That's, they offer remote consulting services, so you don't even have to be living in the American Redoubt to help you out pretty much anywhere in the United States with your property. They will help you go through the integrating of water, food, energy, security, getting the most out of your property, including if, even if you don't own your property yet, maybe you're comparing properties. You need some help doing that to find out which would be the best for you with your goals. That's what they do. So strategiclandscapedesign.com. So I wanted to point something out. Speaking of, you know, racist Trump. Well, there is now, I just got a notification of this this morning. Somebody sent this to me. There is a website now called Racist Watch. And what they're saying is you can find out who has donated to the President Trump's election campaign by going to this website. Now, they get the information from the FEC, or the Federal Elections or Election Commission, or the FEC. So this is, you know, public record for, you know, full disclosure and transparency. So, you know, money laundering and this kind of stuff can't take place. So those who donate to a election campaign has to be listed. So these guys set up a website that basically pulls all of this data for who has supported, financially supported, President Trump's election campaign. So these what they're calling themselves Racist Watch, and they're asking, do your neighbors support a president that promotes racism and hate speech? See, this is a concerted effort. It's like the Marxist influenced head of this teachers union starting off saying this president's, you know, carrying out engaged in a campaign of hate or racism or hate, whatever it was. I'd have to go back and look at it. I just said it just a few minutes ago. But here's this website here, Racist Watch, to expose people, to dox people, including your address. So it will show the name, your address, city, state, zip, everything else. Now, why would they be putting this out there? Because this is how people get hurt. But see, maybe that's the point. I don't know what's in their heart. Well, not entirely, but you can pretty much tell what's in somebody's heart when they start off the whole premises of saying, you know, Trump's a racist, right? This is, the website's called Racist Watch. And here's a way for you to find out, to get the name and address of people in your community who has supported President Trump financially in the election campaign. Knowing full well that this could bring harm to people. This is like the bubbling in the cauldron of the pressure cooker. This is adding to more pressure inside the pressure cooker. So we're still in a cold civil war, but this is absolutely a tactic within the civil war that we're in. And we are in a civil war. It's already underway. Now, a lot of us have been saying this is going to get real sporty, potentially, sadly, and I hope and pray not, bloody, especially as we get closer. But it already has been bloody. I'm not aware of any conservatives that have tracked down somebody because they're wearing the wrong hat and beat the living tar out of them with bike locks and hospitalize them and saying, F the police. and throwing jars of urine or bags of urine across the street as somebody because they want to support Elizabeth Warren or the Dirt Eater, Beto O'Rourke, or any of these others as Democrat president candidates. The only people that I've seen harm on the right, harm somebody on the left, are some of these groups like the Proud Boys and basically supporting, they're confronting Antifa, leftist, Marxist, violent revolutionaries in the streets of America, and they're refusing to allow communists to take over and rule the streets in America, and they're standing there and confronting them. And of course, when that happens, fists fly. So this is just really leading up. It's leading up to some major conflict, I'm afraid, in our country. So the reason why we are here as well is because we've forgotten our heritage and our history. I got a great text from Chris Ann Hall from Liberty First. She's been invited back for another visit to the White House. Now, she's a constitutional lawyer. She understands our heritage and our history before America history. And so she's been meeting with some of the pastors and the religious, the clergy in the White House that are advising Trump. So she's working with that group of people. And one of the things that they've put on their list is a really strong, deliberate effort to educate people on our heritage and our history and the Constitution. And so that's why she was, you know, asked to be part of that. So it's really exciting. So this administration and President Trump is not perfect by any means. But I do believe he loves America, and I do believe that he cannot stand. He hates Marxism and the anti-American agenda. And he's fighting against this agenda. Who else is going to do the things that he's done in this fight to roll back so much progress that the left has made, especially from the previous administration? So anyway, I've been reading through that book that I mentioned last week, Original Intent. It's by David Barton over at Wall Builders. And it's subtitled The Courts, the Constitution, and Religion. It's about our American Christian heritage and the Constitution and the things that influenced the Founding Fathers. Just beautiful. But see, they were engaged. And we were told that if we don't, we stand to lose America. And if we face that type of that oppression and we lose the rule of law, it will be largely the pulpit will be to blame. There's a good article that just came out. If Christians don't personally engage in politics, it's all over for America. So this is written by the Lepanto Institute. It's Catholic, but their points are really, and they're calling out the Catholic Church for stuff that has not been addressed. But the message is still very applicable. And this is written back in September. It was like a month ago. The so-called Equality Act is what they're addressing. On October 30th of 2008, the previous president, who shall not be named, said, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. The legal policy changes wrought, WROGHT, but it could be wrought, ROT, under the previous president administration, paved the way for the so-called Equality Act, or what we're seeing now as H.R. 5, which passed the House of Representatives on May 17th of this year by a vote of 236 to 173. Now, the Equality Act would fundamentally and radically alter civil rights laws to prohibit, quote-unquote, discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. In the same way, racial discrimination is prohibited. Analysis by pro-life and pro-family organizations, as well as the U.S. Catholic bishops, have warned that the Equality Act would require faith-based hospitals, doctors, and nurses to participate in and or perform or assist with abortions or lose their medical licenses. It will require tax funding of all abortions without restrictions, with mandates that any entity that provides health care for a pregnancy and childbirth be required to provide abortion as a related medical condition. It will force women to share private, intimate spaces with men who identify as females, including in bathrooms, lockers, schools, hospitals, prisons, gyms, military barracks, and homeless shelters. What could go wrong? It will disallow Catholic and private school single-sex sports teams from competing against public school sports teams, which will no longer be permitted to have discriminatory single-sex teams. This is just... it will decertify Catholic and Christian schools from satisfying state compulsory attendance laws if they refuse to adopt LGBTQ policies, treating religious schools as hate groups comparable to the Ku Klux Klan. And of course, you know, anybody on staff with that hate group school, probably red flag laws are coming. They're going to disarm you. It will forbid groups like the Knights of Columbus, Catholic Charities, and Christian nonprofits from receiving community block grants from local governments for housing for the disabled or seniors unless they accommodate the LGBTQ agenda, including hiring those who identify as homosexual or transgender. So anyway, this article goes on and on. But it'll also decertify foster care and adoption agencies which do not place children with homosexual partners. It will require small businesses owned by Catholics to promote and affirm LGBTQ sexual behavior or face fines and or loss of their business licenses. Remember, this is written for, this is a Catholic newsletter article. So that's why you keep seeing Catholic, you know, all through. But they're also, this is the audience for this author was a Catholic audience, but this applies to any faith that refuses. What are they going to do about the Muslims? They're going to have to approve Sharia law so that they can let them live under a completely different set of laws, because they don't want to be Islamophobes and then restrict Muslims from this. I can't imagine this. This is really strange to see these equality parades, anti-hate, anti-Islamophobia, and the LGBTQ people flying the Muslim the rainbow flag, marching along side by side with Muslims, who are saying, "Down with America! America is oppressive." I don't know how these things reconcile. Well, they don't. It's just so clear. It is so self-evident. This is just satanic. It's not just insanity. It's satanic. So anyway, removing the tax-exempt status of Catholic churches and agencies that fail to celebrate same-sex weddings. In other words, if a couple of homosexuals want to have a wedding in your church and you say, no, we don't do that here, well, you're in trouble. So there's a lot to pay attention to here with this. Read this for yourselves, but it is basically appealing to Christians to get involved politically, get engaged, get off the pew, roll your sleeves up, get in this political battle, or people that you know and love will be disarmed. They will be imprisoned for not following this insane and satanic, demonically influenced policies of this world and the way it's going. United States is a beacon on the hill. There is nowhere left to go. We have to stand firm at all costs to preserve it and the rule of law and the Constitution and our heritage. America, or Americanism, anyway. There's some parts within America, they hate America, and they're trying to destroy it. and they outnumber the people that want to preserve it. So maybe just regions. I don't know. But we've got a serious fight on our hands to save what we love. We'll be back with segment four, the final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt right after this. Stay right there.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of The Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of AMRON. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or AMRON.com and click on the Alerts USA banner.
This is segment four and the final segment of Radio Free Redoubt. And the segment is brought to you by Works Holsters, WERKZ.com, right, Works LLC. They are located in the American Redoubt. They make custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. So check them out at Works.com. And also, if you're in Liberty State, check out the holster line that they've got where you can have the state seal or the state flag put on your holster at Works.com. LLC. All right. Now, there's, as you guys know, last month, a bunch of us participated in this Panhandle Preparedness Expo. Well, there was a journalist from The Economist who attended, and he wanted to meet with Glenn Shelby and Glenn Tate and myself and several others. And we said, thanks, but no thanks. Well, he sat in on one of my classes, and he went around and sat in several classes and visited vendors. So here's the article. It finally came out. And this is why we didn't talk to the guy. So it starts off with how to await the apocalypse in style. Now, this is, what was the it's tips for troglodytes, people that live in caves, is the category. Now, The Economist is not really left-wing. They are like really hardcore libertarian. All right, they promote it. They got behind the previous president, who will not be named, when he was running. They thought what a wonderful thing that would be. And, you know, they pride themselves on, you know, shattering glass ceilings. And step progressive, but not Marxist leftist. So anyway, I just had no desire to talk to these folks, but they did an article here and just highlighting the where we go. Here we go. On first glance, the recent Panhandle Preparedness Expo held in northern Idaho in the heart of the American Redoubt, a region that attracts people who believe civilization's collapse is fast approaching, did nothing to alter that view. Many of those attending, now remember, this guy's from New York, okay? He shouldn't even actually have been allowed in Idaho because their brains can't even comprehend. They're someone who's educated to the point where they move past the ability for common sense and reasoning. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to explain. But anyway, he's from New York and he's a journalist. So he says many of those attending carried handguns jammed in their waistbands or in holsters wrapped around their legs. Now, this must have been shocking to a New Yorker, but there was one guy who had a leg holster on, a thigh holster. The rest of us didn't have handguns jammed in our waistbands. They were in holsters being properly carried. Everybody's responsible and law-abiding and polite, courteous and helpful. And it was just a great social gathering. But this is a major culture shock for somebody who comes from a place where the only people who have handguns are the police and criminals. So he says preppers could buy little plastic bags of bullets and shotgun shells. Anyway, he goes on making these different little observations from a New Yorker's perspective. It's not really, it's nothing, there's nothing informative, and there's really no sense in even reading it. But anyway, I thought, you know, let's go to the other side here. Let's refer to something from someone who is a little more level-headed and a little reasonable. Lessons learned, passed on by a patriot who actually took his AR-10 out and did some sighting in. So he wrote this letter. This is someone from the American Redoubt. Okay, let's get the other side. We got the New Yorker's side to this, which you can go read that article if you want at The Economist. But now let's go to the sensible side. Someone who's not shocked at the sight of a battle rifle. In fact, he learned some lessons he wanted to pass on to others. And I told him, well, no, I didn't tell him yet, that I would pass it along. He said, pass this along. So I'm going to. So he writes, good morning and God bless. Oh, isn't that nice? That's from a patriot in the American Redoubt. There's no looking into the world of troglodytes. No, this is actually a step away from New York. And let's go to the American Redoubt, where patriots live and thrive. Who starts off his letter with, good morning and God bless. I just wanted to pass along a couple of experiences I had recently at the range. One, I put new optics on my AR-15s, plural. I'm now using Primary Arms ACSS 2.5 power compact scope. The zero came in quickly, but then I was chasing my zero after I knew I had hit at the range before. The mounting screws had come loose. It's highly recommended to mount these optics before going out to the range and tighten all the mounting screws with red Loctite. After doing that, my next trip to the range was successful. So thank you. This fellow patriot is passing along some tips. If you guys are adding optics to mounts on your AR-15s, use red Loctite on your mount screws to keep them from vibrating loose on your AR-15s, plural. Two, somehow an off-brand magazine got in my bag, but I loaded it without thinking anything of it. When I slammed that magazine in like I would with any other P-Mag, that's short for Magpul, or that's what they call their magazines, their 20 and 30 round magazines are called P-Mags. And Magpul is a brand, for those of you who may not be aware, and it's excellent, probably top of the line, you can't beat a P-Mag. Anyway, so I slammed it in like I would with any other P-Mag. Without realizing it, the mag seated itself further up and tilted slightly forward. This would not allow the bolt to go forward and feed the round into the chamber. It got stuck on the lip of the magazine. Well, this was no joy trying to get this magazine out of the rifle and cleared. This magazine was promptly thrown into the garbage. Good man. So these are lessons learned on the training range, okay? 3. Last weekend, it was AR-10 day. Yeah, whoa. Now, that's the 308 version of the AR-15. Or 7.62 NATO. Okay. I had ordered some AR Stoner magazines from Midway. Didn't want to pay the full price for DPMS. DPMS is a brand. Okay. What? Defense Procurement Manufacturing... I think that's what it is. Defense Procurement Manufacturing. DPMS. I figured AR Stoner would be high quality. So did I. At the range, they were a disaster. The follower tilted sideways and was very mushy. Jam after jam. Bullets would not feed and were visibly sloppy in the mag. I swapped over to my old DPMS magazines and had a great day. Got home, took the AR Stoner mags apart. It appeared to me the springs could be upside down and backwards. I turned them upside down and backwards from the way they came out and put them back together again, loaded 16 rounds, and tested okay. It may take another range day to verify. Main lesson learned here, check your gear before counting on it. Pass it on. So here I am, passing it along. Isn't that a great contrast and a great range day? And there's some great lessons learned that might help you guys. Maybe if you have AR Stoner mags and they're just don't seem to be functioning properly, or your ammunition seated properly in it, take a look at those springs. That's what helped this Patriot, and now it all seems to be working fine. So there's your lessons learned from your prepper segment 4. Anyway, guys, that's all I got. I mean, I've got a ton more. There's so much stuff is stacking up faster than I can keep up with. But hopefully you appreciated that, and hopefully you guys have a blessed week this week. Thank you for the letters of encouragement. Always so great to hear from you guys. Keep up the great work out there and stay safe. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this has been another episode of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.